They know enough who know how to learn. Henry Adams made this declaration in 1892. He had no idea that in the 21st century, his words would be more true than ever. Compare this quote to one by Patrick Ray, a regional director of the United States Small Business Administration. In 2005, Ray said that the absolutely qualified high school graduate who can compete for a good job in the 21st century will be a Renaissance geek. That graduate will have a lifelong love of learning, both formal and informal, and the jobs of that graduate will likely need to be learned, unlearned, and relearned. Now, we'll define geek in its modern sense as a person who is extremely interested and knowledgeable about something. In this case, geek about learning. This facility of the Renaissance geek to know how to learn, or what we've dubbed the literacy to learn for the 21st century, is evolving while we speak. With each new tool, with every new application, we shape our technology and it shapes us, how we think, communicate, and learn. So the wise approach for us would-be 21st century skills explorers is to build a conceptual framework for teaching the literacy to learn, a framework that is sturdy enough to support us, but not so rigid as to hold us back. We need a framework that can grow with us as we develop a common language and set of concepts and principles. As our teaching framework is based in large part on the work done by the Partnership for 21st Century Skills. North Carolina, a strong member of the USDLC family, has embraced the work of the partnership and is the first state to begin its own Center for 21st Century Skills. Our Literacy to Learn framework builds largely on the learning skills element, the information and communication technologies element, and 21st century tools element. But all of the elements are intricately interconnected. We'll demonstrate these concepts with vignettes from future mini classroom documentaries, some to be seen in this module and the others in modules to come. We'll also use a spiraling back, so you'll see these concepts or principles many times during the 10 modules, each time in a different light. Our first principle is the power of language. Language in a sense of different ways or modes of representation and communication. As the screen becomes our dominant source of information, so the image becomes our dominant mode of communication. It's important that students learn not only information literacy skills, but visual literacy skills, if they are to become facile at finding and interpreting the information they seek. And more, they need both linguistic literacy and visual literacy skills if they are to become effective designers of media messages. But we also know that all language carries often unseen emotional connections. And so we include here a type of literacy that is best known as critical literacy. We'll define critical literacy as a set of both literacy practices and civic competencies that help us understand that language, both verbal and written, represents particular points of view, and that often other points of views may be silenced. When we teach critical literacy, we're teaching students to read and think critically, but also to understand the power of language and to use that power wisely. Teaching critical literacy is how we propose to help students develop both multicultural literacy, global awareness, and civic literacy, all included in the 21st century skills framework. To illustrate this principle of the power of language, let's take a look at an exciting project that integrates technology and culture. Elizabeth Abbott, a technology specialist at Cherokee Central Schools in Cherokee, North Carolina, will introduce her school's Palm Education Project.
I've been wanting to integrate culture and technology, and I thought what I can do is use Cherokee language because we lost it during the boarding school days. This is my opportunity to bring it back a little bit, maybe. So I wrote a grant, and what we're trying to do is eventually get the kids to beam conversational Cherokee rather than just singular words.
The students are using the Palm Pilots to quiz each other in Cherokee language, and they've learned to beam back and forth to each other, and they're getting better. The language has improved. Even I'm picking up on it because they keep beaming me, and I don't want to be embarrassed that I don't know the words. So I'm having to beef up my knowledge of the Cherokee language also. So we're really getting into the heart of what the project is about now.
Udootzi? Is that? Oh, yeah, you know what?
I don't know what it means.
No, the one she gave was potato. Oh, Udootzi. What is Udootzi?
His uncle.
Cherokee Elementary was the recipient of a Palm Education Pioneer Award, and it's no wonder. It is inspiring to see how they are using technology to preserve the Cherokee language and culture for future generations. Our second principle is cognitive competence and confidence, and includes metacognition and personal management skills, new strategies for locating, evaluating, using, and communicating information, inquiry, design, and construction skills, critical and creative thinking. Think of metacognition, or meta-learning, as having two phases. One, being aware of other available options, and the second, exerting control over these options. We'd suggest a phase in between, feeling the confidence or self-efficacy to take control. That's what we mean by cognitive competence and confidence. Let's see how these fifth graders from Sunnyview School in Polk County, North Carolina, under teacher Maureen Keller's direction, are developing their metacognition skills as they research a relevant essential question.
Now that you have a general understanding of issues surrounding the Grand Statement Wolves, New Statement Wolves, you should continue exploring internet resources to lead you to your response to the essential question. Should the red wolf be reinstated in Western North Carolina?
After they are familiar with the essential question, we go next to how to make a plan for doing this. And that's when we introduced Kidspiration and used that software and made our cluster diagram. And in doing that, they saw the big picture of where they were going. During that process, we talked a lot about questioning, how to come up with good topics, what topics related directly, what topics did they need to know about in order to answer the essential question, and then under each topic, what questions they needed. So they came up with all of those.
This isn't surface level learning. It's deep and powerful. And teachers who can help kids learn at this level are meta-teaching. Our next principle is community or social learning, and the strategies and dispositions required to make it effective. Note how our fourth grade meta-teacher, Rhonda Vanderwerf at Apex Elementary School in the Wake County Public School System, makes the most of WebQuest, a strategy that fits so perfectly in her classroom where kids learn to work collaboratively.
First, how we start with simple machines is I had them explore what each of the simple machines were. And for that, even too, I had found a website and they had gone on and looked at just specific parts of the website, and I had activities based on that. And so from that knowledge, I thought, well, let's go on to a WebQuest where they can use their knowledge and further their perspective. Mm-hmm. So I did a search on the internet, and I found many that incorporated Rube Goldberg. Mm-hmm. And so I thought that that was a neat way to take it. And I looked at the rest of their WebQuest and realized they didn't have the same goals in mind as I did. So I took their ideas, and basically I knew my students knew what simple machines were, so I had them identify the simple machines and Rube Goldberg's designs, and then based on that knowledge and their simple machines, they had to come up with an invention in a Rube Goldberg style. So then they had to come together and discuss each of their inventions, decide which one would be best for the Crazy Creations Incorporated uh-huh. to sell, and then in the end, each of the groups would come together and we would decide on one out of the whole class.
Rhonda truly is meta and creative as she designs social learning experiences to scaffold or support the learning of her students. With scaffolding, students can stretch to accomplish a level of learning or performance that they wouldn't be able to do otherwise. It's Vygotsky's apprenticeship learning principle at work here, where students can learn from a mentor and a classroom can have 25 mentors and apprentices. But it's also something called social constructivism, because though we all construct our own learning, we can learn and accomplish more together than apart. We can think deeper and more creatively to solve problems. Remember what I said about 25 mentors or meta teachers in a class? Well, join us as we visit Meg Millard's class at Frank Porter Graham Elementary in the Chapel Hill Carborough City Schools, where students are hard at work on their class website.
We have a great quiz section where you can practice your skills. The first quiz the boys wanted to do was on U.S. history or facts, and they were pretty adamant that they wanted a response if you got the right answer or wrong answer. They wanted bells and whistles or something to happen, and so they found out, they learned how to make something happen when you said yes, and you know, if it was correct. You got a happy sound and a happy little mouse bouncing around. And if it was wrong, you were told right away, you're wrong.
Very impressive.
Yes.
That was problem solving.
It was very, very great because I said, why don't you just make an answer sheet? And they said, no, we won't do that.
We were trying to make a quiz we wanted to have a multiple choice. And then when you clicked on it, yeah, it would say yes or no.
And like we drew some pictures to it to make it go like realistic and all.
You couldn't really put it, like, you had to make, like, links, so because you couldn't really just say, like, you clicked on the right answer, so you had to make a separate link of yes and no, and then, so when you clicked on the yes, you linked it to the no page, so that when you clicked on it, it would go, and it would pull up the no. Our tech teacher, Mr. Parker, he had never done this before for any type of web page. So we all had to learn how to do it together.
So we all had to learn how to do it together. That's both the beauty and sometimes the beast of technology. When kids grow up digitally, it's often tough for those of us who did not. That's why we have to learn to build on the strengths that we all bring to the mix and the talents and real-world experiences we all bring and share. Finally, we'll use this last mini classroom documentary to make a point about the importance of connecting to that real world. Ever heard of geocaching? There's a treasure to be found in this high-tech learning expedition, and Timber Drive Elementary in the Wake County Public School System has found it.
Geocaching is the great new sport. It is geo stands for short for geography, and cache is a hidden object. And so they're using latitude and longitude and GPS receivers to actually find hidden treasures.
Cool. A lot of people have GPS receivers, don't they?
Yes, GPS receivers are now being used everywhere. They're in cars. A lot of people use them for hiking. Police officers use them. The military uses them.
Boaters, fishermen.
Cool. And it stands for?
Global Positioning System.
Too cool. Well, now tell me something about how you integrated this hobby for educational purposes.
We looked at the goals and objectives for the fourth grade curriculum, and we also had a centennial happening in our community. So we thought, let's look at some of the goals and objectives from science and social studies and other areas, and let's look at the centennial and roll it all together, and with a lot of group and team effort.
What was really nice is part of this program, if the parents come in for a training class, then their child will be allowed to check the GPS unit out so they can do this as a family activity at home.
Timber Drive demonstrates so well how we can not only excite kids about learning when we make that real-world connection, but we can draw their parents in too. It's a great strategy for creating a real-world culture in your classroom and reaching out to your parents and communities beyond. A final quote, Alvin Toffler, author of Future Shock, said the illiterates of the 21st century will not be those who cannot read or write, but those who cannot learn, unlearn, and relearn. Welcome to the 21st century. Welcome to Literacy to Learn.